One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." And the Lord shut him in. Thank you for tuning into Abounding Grace Radio today. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. As always, we invite you to go to the website at aagradio.org. You can explore that website, find many resources there about the program, all these podcasts free for download, a way to write to us. We would love to hear from you. So do please make use of that website. We have put that together to be a blessing to you. Well, we are studying today Genesis chapter 7 and the flood event. And this has been a wonderful section of Scripture. Remember how the New Testament is telling us to look at this. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah." Peter drew the comparison by saying that there was an entire world that then was, that was flooded with water, and he drew the comparison to say the world that now is in a similar way. By the things that happened back then, the mocking, the scoffing, the progression and the escalation of evil, the false ideas, all of that will repeat itself, only that this present world is reserved for fire. There is a day of judgment coming. And so we've been looking at Genesis chapters 5, 6, and 7 to see and learn from the world that then was, that we might know exactly what to expect and what is going to happen to the world that now is. Very important for us. And so in Genesis chapter 7, we have what we call and what we understand to be Judgment Day. The Lord, throughout the Scriptures, pictured Genesis chapter 7 for us as a day of judgment. Enoch prophesied about it. Psalm 29 says, "The Lord was enthroned at the flood." This is a judgment day. Now, I want everyone to think today on Abounding Grace about what I opened with, this beautiful statement in verse 1 of chapter 7, where the covenant name of Yahweh is used. "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation.'" The Lord has come down. And the imagery here is that he's standing at the ark door, summoning his elect to come in. Come, enter. Now think of everything the New Testament tells us about the coming day of the Lord. Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and then he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will say, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" That's Genesis 7. Here the Lord is gathering his elect. He's gathering and he's saying, "Come." The angels will gather. Remember this in Matthew chapter 24? "I will send my angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they will gather my elect from the four winds of heaven." It's the same language. Revelation 18, when the day of the Lord, when he says to his righteous, "Come out of her, my people, come out of Babylon, come out of the world, lest you share in her sins and receive of her plagues." God is coming out of his habitation to judge the world in righteousness. Remember, Isaiah said this. Isaiah said it so powerfully when he said, Shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. And now you understand why it's so important that we remain here. I said yesterday, there's been a teaching that we are raptured out of here, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work because, as in the days of Noah, Noah was there to the end. Noah was preaching until the end. And we need God's people to be here. We need the light to be on the earth. For how will people be called to enter and be saved without the message, without the light, without his salt in the earth? And so we understand how beautiful the mission of the church is. When Noah was building the ark, the door sat open, didn't it? For 120 years, they visually witnessed the open door. And it's interesting that the New Testament calls Noah this preacher of righteousness. His whole building project was a call to enter the ark. And remember, that ark was the way of escape. That ark was the means by which God's people would be preserved and sheltered and covered from the wrath to come. The ark was a visual of the gospel. The ark is a visual, if you will, of the person and the work of Jesus. He is our shelter. He is our covering from the awful day of wrath that is coming upon the world. There's nothing different about our message today. Ultimately, my whole goal in preaching is that people would see their need, see their sin, drop their knees, call out to the Lord, realize that God has made a provision in Jesus for them to be saved, that they would believe in him and be saved from the wrath to come. This is what Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. And Jesus here is pictured. This is why it's so wonderful the day we live, the day of salvation, the day when the door is open. And I think, you know, here we're on radio saying this, and how many people are listening right now? Listen, if you tuned in, dear listener, God drew you to that dial to listen and hear this message right now. Think about what he's saying. Jesus raised his arms and said to people, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast you out." Aren't you weary of this sad world? Aren't you weary of the sin? Aren't you weary of the sorrow, the affliction, the sickness, the darkness, the death? Look at it. It's a world collapsing all around us. And Jesus here has an open door to you. Come to me, believe in me, and you will not be found outside on that day. You will not be found outside. Well, Noah's saying the same thing. How many in that day scoffed at Noah and his message? How many didn't take it seriously? How many poked fun at the ark? Look at this nutball, the length of almost 2 football fields. And I ask the question, how many today, if Jesus is our ark, how many today scoff at Jesus? How many don't take him seriously? How many get mad at his exclusive message when he says, "I'm the only way, truth, and life. You can't be saved. There's no other name given under heaven by which anyone can be saved. I'm it. This is it. This is the only way. This is the only door. I am the door," said Jesus. "I am the way you are covered. I'm the pitch from the wrath of God." Well, the message of Genesis 7 is that that day did come to an end. There was a day in which it all ended. And in verse 15, we read that they went into the ark to Noah 2 by 2 of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all the flesh, went in as God had commanded them. And if you think back to this, the Lord had said, 7 more days I will cause it to rain. In 7 more days I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I've made. As I see it, Noah and his family went in the ark. The door sat open 7 more days. Now, I don't know what the people of the world were saying to Noah. I can only imagine. "What are you doing in there, Noah? There's no rain." But I want you to think about this. The ark door was open for one more moment, 7 more days. And I think the real power of this is to make us see that while God is long-suffering, there is an end to the day of grace. That's what we call the day we live in. It's the day of grace. It's the day where the Lord has set up churches on every corner. And if the churches are doing their job, the pastor is pleading with people to come to Jesus and be saved from the wrath to come. Matthew 24 describes this. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. At the end of verse 16, I think comes one of the most powerful statements in the whole narrative. So those that entered, male and female, all of all flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I want you to think about this. The door to the ark must have been just massive. I mean, a massive wood. I mean, what kind of door for all these animals to enter? No, would it have to be for the size of an ark that is a football field and a half? You can picture this. All has been gathered in. Noah looks one last time and sees the light. The light to the world that then was. It was sunny. Birds are singing. It's shining. All of a sudden, in an amazing act of God, the massive wooden tar-pitched door lifts off the ground and God shuts them in. And it goes perfectly still. It was over. All the calls, all the pleas, all the building, it was done. It was done. You know, Jesus said at the very end of the parable of the 10 virgins, that while five of them were wise, five of them were also foolish. And when the bridegroom came, the foolish ones who weren't ready, what happened? Well, those who were ready went in to the wedding and the door was shut. It's at moments like this I think about Noah. You know, Revelation 21 says that on the last day, God's going to have to wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All these former things will have passed away. I would imagine Noah had a rough day that day. Joy filled him that God had spared him. But what sorrow when he saw the giant door lift off the ground and seal up shut. Sorrow must have happened. Sorrow because the day is over. How could this have happened? A realization of how bad things were for God to have to come and destroy everything that he had made. God must have took his giant hand of mercy and wiped their tears. And the Lord has said to all who believe, he will do that very thing at the end. The former things will not be remembered. I'm thankful for that. But you see, this is a beautiful truth about the now, is that the ark door is still open. What we're doing, what I'm announcing on Abounding Grace, what the gospel is all about, is gospel meaning good news, is that the door is open. Come to Jesus. He's the door. He's the door of the sheep. If you enter by him, you will be saved. And that's why there's urgency to the call. People today, there's some people who think, well, I'm just going to get my life together later. I'm going to live it up and not worry about it. You know, at the right time, Jesus pressed people about this. Strive, Luke 13, to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand on the outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I don't know you. Where are you from? Then you will begin to say, well, we ate and we drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Well, that is exactly where we are in Genesis. The final judgment begins. Genesis 7, verse 17. Here's what we read. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about the surface of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. The whole event is really a kind of massive decreation. Remember in Genesis 1, the Lord God created an expanse in the midst of the waters to divide the waters from the waters. Well, we read that the fountains of the great deep were broken up. The window of heaven was opened. And we know what happened. What we have here is that the waters came together. The expanse was gone, so that above the highest mountaintop of the earth, the water prevailed. Think about how many thousands of feet the water prevailed. And we read this, and all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every man and in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. It's interesting, dear listener, that in the Jewish writings, a lot of history was passed down orally that we have in what are called apocryphal books. Now, these are not inspired books of the Bible, but nonetheless, they are history. And I want you to listen to how one book describes the event. And on that day, the Lord caused the whole earth to shake, and the sun darkened, and the fountains of the world raged, and the whole earth violently moved, and the lightning flashed and thundered, and the thunder roared, and all the fountains of the earth were broken up, such as was not known to the inhabitants ever before. And Noah and his household and all the living creatures that were with him came into the ark on account of the waters of the flood, and the Lord shut him in. And all the sons of men that were left upon the earth became exhausted through evil on account of the rain. For the waters were coming more violently upon the earth, and the animals and the beasts still surrounded the ark. And the sons of men assembled together, around 700,000 men and women, and they came up to the ark, and they called to Noah, saying, "Open for us, that we may come into the ark, and wherefore we shall die." And Noah, with a loud voice, answered them from the ark, saying, "Have you not all rebelled against the Lord and said that he doesn't exist? And therefore the Lord brought upon you this evil to destroy and cut you off from the face of the earth. Is not this thing that I spoke to you of 120 years back, and you would not hearken to the voice of the Lord? And now do you desire to live upon the earth?" And they said to Noah, "We are ready to return to the Lord. Only open for us that we may live and not die." And Noah answered them, saying, "Behold, now that you see the trouble of your souls, you wish to return to the Lord. Why did you not return during these 120 years, which the Lord granted as the determined period? Now also the Lord will not listen to you, neither will give an ear to you." And you see, I read all this, and I think, once the door is shut, dear listener, it's shut. Peter says the final world will be judged by fire. There's a great encouragement here at the end of all of this. Listen to verse 23. "Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive." And verse 1 of chapter 8, we read this. "And God remembered Noah." I always love that word, "remembered." That's a covenantal word here, that God remembered his promise to Noah and his family. Do you know that right after God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the first thing that we read is that God remembered Abraham? Do you ever wonder on Judgment Day, with all the billions and billions of people, when they're standing there giving an account, and God is rendering his righteous judgment, how he will remember you if you're a believer? You ever ask that? Is God going to remember me? Is God going to know me on that day? We can pray this. God, remember me and my family. Will he? I always think at this moment of the thief on the cross. Remember that? And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What did Jesus say to him? "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I'm not forgetting you. I'm not forgetting you." On that day, all who have believed, what does the Lord say? "There is laid up the crown of righteousness for you, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award on that day." And not only just to us, but to all who have loved his appearing. This is such an important message in our day, isn't it? We will enter and we will receive a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness shall dwell. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more evil. And the Lord is assuring us today, dear listener, when we come to him, he is assuring us that everything we need to stand has been provided for us in Jesus Christ. That's what our job is as preachers. We're announcing good news. We're announcing gospel that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, what did he have to endure? The flood of God's wrath upon him. He went to the cross. Darkness fell over the land. There was an earthquake. The rain, if you will, of God's wrath fell upon him in body and in soul, and he suffered the torments of hell so that he would say, "It is finished." And what's he announcing to the ends of the earth? He's announcing this gospel call. Come, enter me. Enter me, says Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can enter and come to the Father except through me. And so it's a sad thing that so many today aren't hearing this message. They're standing outside, and the message is, come, my people, enter your chambers, shut your doors behind you, hide yourself, as it were, for a moment until the indignation is past. The ark is the Lord Jesus. It's not for those who think they can come by their own righteousness. It's for those struggling sinners who feel the weight of living in a sin-cursed world and know who they are, know they're sinners, know they need to be saved, that Jesus says, I am your door. Come, enter by me. Receive my righteousness and enter the kingdom which was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The reason today to rejoice is that Jesus said he won't forget his sheep. Jesus said, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. And that begs the question today. That begs the all-important question. Have you, dear listener, come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Coming means believing, trusting him, believing his gospel promises, submitting your life to him, repenting and acknowledging your sins, and coming to him for forgiveness and grace by which you can stand. I'm going to close today with, again, the reading of 2 Peter chapter 3, and may it be a blessing to you as you consider where you stand before the Lord of glory. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Abounding Grace Radio. We're always grateful on Abounding Grace Radio to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We, of course, invite you to go to the website at agradio.org, explore that website, make use of those resources, and download these podcasts free of charge. Well, we're always grateful that you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you. If you're looking for a church with biblical worship, Christ-centered preaching, and the love of the family of God, we invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our worship service times on Sundays are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.